Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a little bit of writing, so I'll turn my back to you for just a little bit here. I felt like the Lord gave this message for LaRanger quite a while back. So pray for me that the Lord will just sanctify my tongue and help me to do wisdom in this and bless your souls with it. We want to talk, it's mainly for the woman, but there's going to be things about the man too. We appreciate the men. And, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that. Yes, thank you, I forgot that. We want to first read in Titus 2 and 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And we want to think about when you first see keepers at home, there's a deeper meaning than that. It does not mean that you have to stay in your house all the time. That would be not wise, right? I mean, the women have to go buy groceries and we have to do things and go places. It doesn't mean that. It's a deeper meaning. You see the word, these are Greek words, means house and means keeper, watcher, and guardian. God has called you to be three major roles, which I'll get into that, but we'll get back to Genesis, but God gave women three special roles in life. And the number one is to be the helpmeet, the helper of her husband. And in marriage, it's very important that we understand. And to keep the house is a big job. But not even just the domestic task, but the spiritual task. The spiritual of bringing up your children in God's way, and watching over your household, teaching your children, nurturing them, bringing them for the Lord. So that's very important too. So we want to go back a little bit to Genesis 2:18 and talk about how the Lord created. As I was studying that, the 6 days when the Lord was creating, on the sixth day, He made the animals first, and then he made Adam and Eve. But I often wonder why he did that. But you know, he made something we needed. You know, he went through the world, he made the sun and the moon, the two great lights. He made the grass and the trees and the fruit bearing trees and everything that the person needed first, right? He provided everything for them. And then he made the waters and the great whales, and then it goes on to all the days. And the sixth day he made the animals. And if you notice there, when he made the animals, he called Adam and he said, I want you to name these animals. And I often thought about how long that took Adam to name all those animals. And to me, I think he did a perfect job. If I see a cow, it looks like a cow. I mean, I don't know if I could have done that good, but he did really good, don't you think? I mean, the elephant looks like an elephant. I mean, the words are great. So he did all this. And why did God allow him to go through all these animals? And at the end, the only thing that God said wasn't good was that he did not have a wife. He said, it's not good. So let's read that. And the Lord said in the 18th verse of the second chapter, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So everything else that he created was good up to that point. And he said, this is not going to work. Adam needs a wife. Adam needs a helpmeet. Adam needs somebody. So it says here, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. You know, I don't know what was Adam was feeling like, but he probably was feeling kind of sad. You know, he goes through all these beautiful animals, and no doubt there was pairs of them and all that. But, you know, he didn't have anybody. And it says here, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, I thought about this, too. I thought, you know, God, when God created man, he could have just created Eve without that rib. I mean, God created the woman. But he did that rib for a reason. He wanted the connection of one flesh. He wanted Adam to cherish his wife, to be connected to her. God's wise, he's very wise in that. And so he says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, you know, in marriage, my glasses are a little bit dusty. In marriage, to me, it's one of the most sacred, close relationships you'll ever have on earth. And it's a great blessing. And it's we may not realize it all the time, but we stop to think about it. You know, it's a great blessing that God gave us families and gave us a companion. And so anyway, we're going to go on a little bit there. So when this rib was taken out of the man and to the woman, some people say, well, the man has one less rib now. That's the story of this one, which is not true. Do we know how many ribs we have? We have 12 ribs on each side, 24 ribs. There's a few people that, you know, maybe have one extra rib or one less rib, you know, how that can happen sometimes. But normally speaking, we have 24 ribs. But the thing was, God didn't really leave it that way, probably because he wanted to know that although he took that rib out of the man, it was for a purpose, for to make one flesh. But, you know, God created the woman. You know what I'm trying to say? So he just wanted that marriage to be so close. And then he wants the man to cherish the woman. And he wants the woman to honor her husband and reverence her husband. And when we do that in a marriage, it works. It works. And so then God gave three roles. We want to start with the first role. He called her to be a helpmeet. And to be a helpmeet and a keeper of the home. But we first want to talk about being the helpmeet. It's not, we need to complement our husband. We need to work with our husband. And now, because we're a helpmeet, and the Greek word for help also means rescue and save and to be strong. And I'm going to add to encourage him. And, you know, this is an honorable place that God has called women to be a help meet to their husband, to be a helper. And it's not, I'll get into some more scriptures. It's not always that the housework and things like that is the priority. God has called the woman to keep the home. It doesn't mean the man can't help sometimes. But that's her main job, and we're going to get into some of that. But at the same time, there's some times where a woman has to step up and help them in business, and that's okay to do. And we don't want to get in a strain to think women can never work, because sometimes they have to. And in my life, my husband became a home builder. And when we went to Edmond, I could see right away that realtors weren't working with him very well. And God told me that it was okay. He said, you can help your husband, but just stop at that. To my knowledge, it was just pretty well stopped at that. Because the Lord would let me list his homes, and then all that commission we would lose if I wasn't a realtor, I would give it back to him in the business. So it helped him. What I'm trying to say is, but the priority of a woman is to keep her home. And sometimes we have to help our, step in and help our husband a little bit. I remember different times we were in a bad car accident, and my husband had broken ribs and a crushed ankle. I didn't mention that the other day. He was in worse shape than I was physically like that. A broken jaw in two places, so I kind of recovered quicker. And so I started cleaning houses to make a living and help him that way. And so I think I admire women that will step in and help their husband. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we've got to be in check and remember that careers is not our goal.
That's right.
It's that we help our husband, but the main thing is we are to keep that home and keep it spiritual and keep it guarded and all those things and be what God wants us to be. I remember one time, I actually probably share this with you, but I loved houses. I love selling houses. It's probably more temperate now, but I like looking at them still and things like that. I like pretty houses. I enjoyed building houses. It was my husband built it mainly, but I helped him decorate and stuff. I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed people, and I enjoyed selling. And one day it seemed like I got under temptation, and I thought, I need to go further with this. And the devil just told me, and I'm just sharing this with you. He said, you could be, I'm not saying the top, but one of the top rollers. You could go after this. Just go after it. And I thought about that, and the Lord spoke to me and said, no, that's not good for you. I said you could help your husband. I didn't say to go after that as a big career. I didn't tell you. I called you also to be a minister. So, you wouldn't even have time for that. And, real estate is a lot taxing and a lot of work. But the devil tempted me, like he tempts each one of us on things. But the Lord helped me by his grace to consecrate and say, no. Like we heard the other day about decisions. I had to make the decision to serve the Lord and not go after that. So we know that anyway, we want to get back to her job is to encourage him. I remember some time before my husband got into building in Michigan, he was worked as a machinist and different things, and he'd come home about 5 o'clock. And to my knowledge, I always had a good supper for my husband. And when you get to be an entrepreneur or doing business like that, some of your hours are all mixed up. But when he worked at certain hours, I would try to have the children clean, I would try the house clean, and have a good supper for my husband. And I really, really appreciated him working hard and providing for us. And, it was just a very special to me. I could see how God was using him and how he's told me different times how the weight of that burden upon his shoulder to provide for the family was really great. And I won't get into all of it, but, that's a burden that the men have. And when us women understand how nice it is to come home to a clean home, to have supper ready for them, it just encourages them, and it blesses them. And so we have a job to be a helper to the Lord, a helper to our husbands. And it's an honorable place. And I'd like to say something. There's two scriptures I'd like to turn to, Psalms 54 and 4. I want us women to understand that, there's two genders in the world. There's, what's going on. But God made a male and female. And that's it. And we need to love what we are, what God created us to be. We need to love that and do the very best we can with it, whether it's a woman or a man. You do what God called you to do. And Psalms 54 says, in the fourth verse, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." The reason I'm reading this is that because we're helpmate or helper does not mean we're inferior or anything like that. That's a helper is a wonderful thing. God's our helper. And we know that God's, not that we're above, I'm not saying that, but God is above us. I mean, he created us, but yet he helps us. So being a helper is an honorable thing, is what I'm trying to say. And there's another scripture in Hebrews, and I'm sure there's more, but in Hebrews, it talks about the Lord being our helper. Hebrews, let's see, we got Hebrews 6, the 6th verse of Hebrews, I think it's 5 and 6, the last chapter, 13 and 6. 13 and 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So what I want to say today, encourage us, is that I love being a helper to my husband. And you know, I love gospel work, but you know what? I'm really excited to get back home and clean house. Now that may sound, I'm also excited to cook. And I don't always cook. I go out too. I mean, we're in an age where we all go out a lot. But I love to cook. And I love to make homemade bread when I get the time to do it. I remember years ago, do you remember those bread machines we had? They didn't turn out as good, I'm telling you. But, you know, it was something that made me feel good. I was busy and I could make the bread in the bread machine. I finally got rid of that thing. So I'm going to learn how to make homemade bread. That was my goal. And when I got more time, I love making homemade bread. Now, I've got this one recipe. It takes 3 hours. So you need to be home when you're making it because you got to let it rise and you got to do something else too and let it rise. And I'm just telling you, you got to plan on 3 hours being home. But anyways, and then there's a shorter recipe I got a hold of. This lady, I don't know if I should tell her name, but you can tell me after. I'll tell you afterwards if you want to know. She's on Instagram, but she teaches how to make bread, and she sells bread that you can make in an hour. And I love that bread too. But my goal now is to learn how to make sourdough bread. And I have bought all the glass jars and everything, and I got it ready. And I'm sorry to say, they've been in my cabinet quite a while. But my goal is to make some sourdough bread. What I'm trying to say is have those goals in your heart to be a keeper of that home, to want to do it. You know, it's a big difference. You know, do you really want to do it? You need to want to do it, you know, and enjoy doing it. And I just get such a joy in making that homemade bread. It tastes a lot better than that bread you buy at the store. I'm just telling you. It tastes a lot better. Put a little bit of butter on it or some jelly. It just tastes better. And, you know, it's wonderful to have. I sent my husband a text since I've been here. I found this recipe on salmon. And the last time I made it in salmon, I thought it was really good. And it was good. But he's a sugar person. He likes honey. He likes something sweet. He said, honey, you should dress up that salmon, make it taste a little sweet. So I found this recipe where you mix up honey and a little bit of garlic. I think it said, it sounds kind of funny with honey. But anyway, you put it on the salmon. It looks so delicious. So I sent it to my husband. I said, honey, when I get home, I'm trying to make you some of that salmon. But, you know, it's just wonderful to want to do these things. It just makes you so happy to be the keeper of the home. Doesn't make you happy. I like organization. And I had this goal not long ago that I looked at my closet and I thought, it looks terrible. I wouldn't want anybody to come to my house and see my closet. I got to think that way, you know, because nobody usually comes in there except me or Jerry. But sometimes my girls do. But, you know, I was just thinking, I'm going to make that closet look like a model home. Have you been in a model home where they have very little stuff? They have a couch and one little chair, a couple little knickknacks, some pretty plates on the table. Probably if you look in the cabinets, there's nothing in there. But I mean, my goal is to have, I'm not a minimalist, I guess what you call it. I'm not that. I like knickknacks, but later as I get older, I just won't want as much stuff. You know what I mean? I want it to look more clean. And so I had this goal in my mind. What I'm trying to say, sometimes it starts in your mind. You look around the house. What do you need to do? What's your priority? There's cleaning, then there's deep cleaning. That was deep cleaning, let me tell you. My granddaughter helped me. But I am so thankful every time I walk in there. It is all organized. It's all clean. I had to get rid of some stuff, but it looks like a model home. I wouldn't be ashamed of any of you coming in here and looking at it. But it took me some work. Okay, now right now you might be thinking, I need to clean my pantry. That's my next goal. Every once I clean that pantry and I organize it, and for some reason, I'm fast at cooking and it gets messed up. But I want to organize that pantry. I've got a goal of getting that real nice. I have a little one and I have a bigger one. I got this big goal. And I'm going to do it by God's grace, you know. But see, we have to set goals in our life. And then housework won't seem so treacherous, or what do you call that? This might be the wrong word. Or monotonous, or...
Mundane.
And you know, I sometimes think I do these dishes, and I try to look up on the internet, that's not going to work, so we'll just have to figure it out. I thought, how many dishes have we done in a lifetime in 50-some years? I've been married almost 55 years. How many dishes have I done? Well, I couldn't really find a good answer. I wouldn't trust it to repeat it. Because I think it's a big number, but that really doesn't really matter. But I thank God for, there's a little saying that don't worry about the dirty dishes, thank God for the food you got to make the dirty dishes, right? So, but you know, my goal is this other lady that I was going to tell you about, I'll tell you later, but she teaches to clean your kitchen every night. Don't go to bed with a dirty kitchen. Because you know what happens? You wake up, you'll have a dirty kitchen. That's how you're going to face the morning. Your family wants breakfast, and here you got this dirty kitchen. You got to clean up first. And there's been a few times I haven't done it, and they ain't been too happy. I've had to get up before Jerry. And he even remarked when he got up, he goes, you know what? You always clean that kitchen. He said, I like it. Coming in here and seeing that kitchen's always clean. In fact, I had to go to West Virginia. He went with me the last time, one time, without him a while back. And you know what he said to me? He said, since I got home, he said, I love seeing you in the kitchen. It kind of amused me, but I thought, well, he likes me to cook and he likes me to clean, you know, and so bless his heart. So anyway, I just thank the Lord that we can love what we're doing. Love what God made you. Love how God made you. And love being what God wants you to be. And so we want to go on to the second role that God, this is children. And we don't have to turn to this, but 1 Timothy 5:10, I think it's talking about a widow, but it says, as she brought up children, she washed the saints' feet. But to bring up children is to nurture them, train them, care for them, love them, and teach them. And you know, it doesn't stop at just children. It goes to grandchildren, to great-grandchildren. I'm going to tell you a little story. My first great-granddaughter, I have three great-granddaughters now, Willow, Everly, and Ivy Jo. They're Braden and Katie's little girls. And soon we'll have another little girl. So I have four great-granddaughters. We have a lot of girls in our family. I had six granddaughters, two grandsons, three daughters of my own, and we just have a lot of girls. So I thought, you know, I was going to give them a tea party. I've been doing that for a while. And so I gave this tea party. I probably bought more food than I should have. I made some of it. But I'm trying to tell you a little story. Willow, my oldest great-granddaughter, was probably about 4 years old or something. Five. I don't think she was five. Maybe four. But she walked in the kitchen, and I had this big spread of food. I had beautiful things. Cupcakes decorated pretty. Cakes decorated pretty. And chicken salad sandwiches with tomatoes on top. And just, you know, I just loved doing that. And so I had it all ready. This little girl walks up to me, Will, and she goes, Mama. Tells me once. She goes, I love you. I said, you love me? Well, I love you too, honey. I said, why are you saying that? Because you think I did all this because I love you? She said, uh-huh. That's what I think. So see, it's it can just get your love over to the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. You know, it just goes on and on. And so bring up those children in the fear of God. That's part of keeping that house. It's guard the house. Guard your children. Encourage them, show them love. And the third, the third is manager of the home. In Proverbs 14:1, you know, if you manage the home like you should, it's a job, big job. And 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now that's just not talking about building a new home and decorating it pretty. It's talking more spiritual too. God's given that to me before. A wise woman buildeth her house. You know, women sometimes want something, and because their husband is head of the house, sometimes they try to ask their husband, and their husband don't want to do it, so they... And sometimes it's a spiritual thing, and they really should do it, so you just got to pray. But we don't want to get where we just bother our husband because we want our way, and just keep bothering him and bothering him, bothering him. I'm trying to say, a wise woman buildeth her house. She finds ways to work with her husband without doing that. She finds ways to reach him spiritually without doing that. I'll make a short story, but in Michigan, the Lord dealt with me first that we need to move. The congregation wasn't working very well and things. And so I was thinking about the three little girls mainly, and the Lord spoke to me, you need to move, you need to get by the saints, you need to be in a congregation. We had got some tapes from Brother Souders in Oklahoma City, so make a long story short, we went there first, and Brother Souders, we called him, and we said, Brother Souders, we feel like we need to move, but there's people here in Michigan that need the gospel. He said, there's people everywhere. He said, if God wants you to go, you better go. So anyway, to make a long story short, we went, but when I first brought that to my husband, he did not want to move. He did not want to move. The reason his thinking was, he was a good provider. He had a good job. We had a good home. And he thought he was settled in and felt safe and secure. And that was his thinking. It wasn't because he was trying to be rebellious on spiritual things, but he just did not want to sacrifice all that. But I started praying for him because I could see talking to him was just going to cause an argument. It wasn't going to work. And you know, have you heard anybody say, and I don't want to use that word, but I'll use the word drama. Choose your drama. Some things are not worth it. The older I get, I realize with anybody, or especially with your companion. I mean, usually if you've been married 55 years, you know where it's going to go. You know what I mean? I told my sister-in-law, she lives in Florida, and they go back and forth to Michigan in the car and drive all those hours. I said, y'all get along all them hours? How do you do it? How do you never get on a subject that you're, you know, not that you're fighting, but disagree on something? She goes, I just don't pick nothing that I think that I wouldn't get along with him, Dwight, about it. I just don't go there because I'm in a car. I can't get away from him. I thought, well, that is smart. Isn't that smart? You only bring up joyful matters. You only bring up happy things. You know, you don't talk about, why didn't you clean up the family room? That wouldn't be good to bring up. You know, you just talk about good things and happy things because you're in that car and you can't get out. And you want to get along. You want to be happy. So choose your drama. The world says choose your battles, but I don't like that word, battles. I say drama. But choose your drama. And even with relationships in the church and everything, some things, just let it go. Just let it go. Because it only hurts you, you know. Just be happy. Love everybody. Get along. Be happy. Then you're married. Do the best you can with it. Love, you know. And so a wise woman buildeth her house. The Lord has given that to me before. And it was amazing how He would talk to my heart. Like, if you're wise, you're going to build that house. I'm talking about your spiritual house of your family. You're going to work on that. And you're going to build it. So a wise woman buildeth her house. And then it goes on. There's another scripture here, 12:4 of Proverbs. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to his bones. We want to be a crown to our husband. You know? And it takes wisdom from God. And 18 and 22 of Proverbs. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtain favor of the Lord. Now, you know, young men, especially young men, speak to you a little bit. Someday you've got to choose a wife. You need to pray about it. Talked about the power of prayer. We need to pray about these things. They're very serious. Very serious who you choose as a companion. I prayed and cried for the right companion, and I know God gave him to me. And I want to tell you something about Jerry. He may appear like strong. He is strong. He'll show him, I mean, if you've seen his wrist and his hand, it's like a hammer. I mean, if he does this, you know, with men while they do this, he can probably win about every time. He's so strong. And but there's a tender side to Jerry. And I'm going to tell you a tender side. If I am going somewhere, he fills up that car with gas. Not only does he do that, he turns the car around, so all I got to do is go straight out the driveway. And then he makes sure I have ice water. And then he kisses me goodbye and tells me he loves me and tells me, be very careful where you park, honey. You know, and there was a couple times I thought, Jerry, honey, I know how to turn the car around, you know. And then the Lord showed me, this is the way he's showing your love. Don't say nothing. Just say thank you very much, honey. I'm capable of turning the car around. You know, women think, I'm capable. But the Lord said, don't be like that. You need to thank him. I said, thank you, honey. That's really sweet of you, you know. Because I could see that in those little things that he was showing me his love. And that's the tender part of the man. And we, in a marriage, if we do our part, we can bring out that tender part of him. That he will cherish you and love you. That's what we want to bring out, don't we? So, I thank God for that. And Proverbs 31, very familiar scripture, but it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Didn't write verse here. 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, if you want to know the price of rubies, check it out on the internet. You'll find out the price of a virtuous woman will be greater than that. So, the one thing about the phone and the age we live in, we can use it in the right way. That's what I do. I read it. I like to use it in the right way. Look up. You can look up so many things. I know one time I was reading something about, and back in Brother Warner's day, and there was a house that they worshipped in. Let's see if I can find that. And I looked it up, and I found the house. I found pictures of the inside. I think it was in Michigan. And it talked about the brother and sister that would open their house as the saints went by and come in there and have worship. It was very interesting. And to see that and just think about it, you know. I mean, it's history. It's just... But anyway, a virtuous woman, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. I remember Brother Souders years ago was preaching, don't put your money in a bag with holes in it. And what he was trying to say is a woman spends more money than a man, normally speaking. I'm just telling you, I know I do in my house because I buy the groceries. I buy the things for the house that's needed. And I buy probably things just I want to be honest. But the Lord is helping me to be more temperate in that. And I'm going to tell something. This might help us all. I really love Amazon. But you can get caught up too much on Amazon. And I mean, the thing what I love about it is I don't want to always go to the store, especially since I get older. I don't want to always go to the store. To me, it's a waste of time to go to Walmart just to get some toothpaste. Why Google Amazon? They got this toothpaste I want. Which, you know, it's not that it's that expensive at all, but here comes a box of the toothpaste. Here comes a box of something else. And my dear husband, he just opened all these boxes, and he's so sweet about it. He wants to open them for me. And I said, okay. And sometimes I get ahead of him, and I get the box. But one day, I think it was kind of getting on his nerves. But he said it so sweet to me that it worked. Now, if he'd have said, Marcia, quit buying from Amazon, he didn't say that. Or you're overdoing it. He didn't yell at me. He didn't holler at me. He didn't act mean. He was real nice about it. We're going down the street. Oh, I can still see him today. He was so sweet. And we're talking about it, you know. And he goes, Marcia, will you please slow... No, he didn't say please. Will you slow down? Just slow down some. And the way he said it, I said, he goes, would you just slow down? And I said, yes, honey, I will, by God's grace. Because I don't make promises I can't keep. And every time I go to Amazon now, I say, you got to slow down. Do you really need it? And I'll let that go. I promised Jerry I'd slow down. But I wonder if I should tell this, but I think it might help us. Because the tender way he said it to me, every single time I go to purchase, I think, will you slow down? You know, I hear his voice. Marcia, can you slow down? Because it was just, I guess he just really thought I was, and I probably was, overdoing. Too many boxes coming to the house. Have you seen the things? Oh, this poor man was coming home from work. It was on Instagram. Man was coming home from work, and he told her to quit buying so much packages, so many on Amazon. I think it was Amazon or something. And she tricked him. She put all these empty boxes out all over the porch and the yard, you know, that was not nice to do to her husband. And he got out of the truck and he seen all that. He just looked like he was going to faint. And he just gets back in the truck and takes off. I don't know where he went. She should have done that to him. And then what was really amazing was the UPS guy was actually bringing a real package. And he had to leave, you know. So women, let's be a little careful. I don't know, can you take this if you want to? Let's be a little careful, because we do have to purchase, but, you know, let's ask God to help us. I need it, just like you now need it. But God is helping me. Because of that sweet man, and that's what I'm saying, this message would be for the men too, the way he said it to me. So just the way he said, Marcia, can you slow down? And he didn't mean I just couldn't ever buy nothing, but he just wanted me to slow down. Because he's probably tired of opening all the boxes. But anyway, we'll go on. But so we want our husband to trust us. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. You know, years ago when I first moved to Guthrie, I did not know how to sew. We've been there over, we went to Oklahoma City first. 1979, we moved to Oklahoma City Church. Then in 1982, 83, we moved to Guthrie to put the children in the Christian Path of Life school. I did not know how to sew. And I remember, do you remember Marcia White? Does anybody remember her? She said to me, Sister Marcia, the saints just think you automatically know how to sew. She goes, they just think you just know how to sew. I know. But the Lord helped me to learn enough. I was making dresses for the girls. Back then, you could hardly get the clothes you needed, you know. Dresses, and mine didn't turn out too great. I don't know. They were okay. But anyways, but I was doing my best. And I made cute little dresses for the girls. And I worked on it. And then when I finally got to the point, my husband really didn't like me sewing. Because when I sewed, thread would be everywhere. And I would have to stay there at the sewing machine almost all day except break to get something to eat. You know, I was just, he thought it was just taking so much of my time. So he was very glad when I could just buy clothes. But what I'm trying to say is she did all these things. She provides for her household. How many women, when you know winter's coming on, you get those sales like in spring and summer when they slash those prices on the winter things or something. You know, I'm not exactly when they do it. But she looks out for that little girl that needs that coat or the little boy that needs a coat. And women have that intuition that they search for these things. And then she says, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. If she sees a good deal and it's from afar, she can get that. And she rises also while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I know sometimes, especially Thanksgiving time, I thought, here I'm up, putting this turkey, wrestling with this turkey, washing it off, rinsing it off, putting it in the oven. Everybody else is sleeping in the household. Here I am. And the Lord spoke to me, says, But you're doing what the Bible says. It says, you're rising while it is night to give meat to your household. Because my mom, see what my mom taught me? She would put her turkey on like late at night, like 12, 1 o'clock. I'd go back to sleep and let it cook all night slow. And then when you wake up, then you have Thanksgiving early, of course, about noon. But your turkey's smelling the whole house. And that's how I was brought up, you know. So I could get late. But anyway, when you do these things, remember, you're being a virtuous woman. And it says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planted the vineyard. Now, we can be a businesswoman too, and we can buy things. Now, normally speaking, a woman would not go buy a piece of land without her husband's permission. But one day, I found some land in Missouri, and it was beautiful. And the price went 50% off. It was so cheap. I mean, I called Jerry, and I said, Jerry, this land, I mean, we need to buy this land, honey. And I told him what the price was. He said, you do whatever you want to do. I'm too busy to deal with it. You just, whatever you want to do. That's the only land that I actually bought. I bought that land. I'm telling you, I love that piece of land. And I just loved it. And it had such a beautiful view. It was kind of like up on a mountain. We could look down and see the beautiful view. Really didn't know exactly what I was going to do with it. I thought maybe I'd build a house or... And we prayed about it, and I just felt like the Lord told us, no, I don't want you to move to Missouri. You stay where you're at. And it was so hard for me at first to consecrate that land. I thought, well, maybe we could have two houses. Maybe we could just build a small house there or sell our house and get a small. You know, I was trying to figure out every way I could, and my poor husband ain't really going to start. But I finally consecrated. And I remember one time I listed with the realtor, and when I drove back where we were staying, I cried. I'm telling you, I love that land to this day, and it's still for sale. I mean, it's got, someone else bought it, and then something happens, and they put it for sale again. They keep putting it for sale, and I think, oh, geez, no, just let it go. But anyway, it was such a beautiful view, you know, and I always dreamed of having a house up on a mountain. Look at this gorgeous view, you know, and it was something I had to consecrate. But, you know, sometimes, but in the end, when we sold it, we made money on it. So she considereth the field and buyeth it. I know, I won't tell which daughter does, but one of my daughters bought a car one time. And she didn't have time. They was needing a car. And I don't know if she contacted her husband or not. She might have. But anyway, she bought this car without him because it was such a good deal. She didn't want to pass it up. And she didn't have time. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying to go do that, but there are times that you might have to do that. And her husband was so happy that she did it. And so, you know, there's just, normally speaking, my husband always buys a car. So I've never went out and bought a car. I don't even know if I've been tempted to. He always does that. And there's things that a man does around the house that I want to say I really appreciate the men and the brothers. I'm just telling you. About the only thing I know in a car, I don't pay attention to a car. I don't have to. All I do, for all these years, I put gasoline in it. If he doesn't do it, most time he tries to keep that filled up for me. So, I mean, I know the oil needs to be changed. I know that because he does it. But much else about a car, I really don't know. I don't need to because he takes care of it. So I appreciate you brothers that take care of things around the house and fix things. It's amazing. And I told my husband the other day, I said, honey, I think you need to turn the sprinkler on because I bought some flowers and kind of just, I didn't have time. I planted some, but I didn't have time, so I just set the pots in the, you know, in the landscape. We have a well, so we can turn the sprinkler on. It doesn't cost that much. I said, honey, I think you need to turn the sprinkler on. He goes, well, I will pretty soon because I know when I should put it on. Said, okay, so he says, you probably don't know how to turn the sprinkler on. You know what? That's true. I never looked at the box. I never have. Because I always know he'll do it, you know. He says, I need to teach you some things around here. I said, well, you probably do. But, you know, we depend on one another. And so it says here, she considered the fact. Okay. And I want to talk, there's two scriptures I wanted to read about, let's see, over here in... let's see if I can get this right. I wanted to read about... let me get the scripture. It's about Phoebe. She was a businesswoman. She was also a deaconess at the church. The 16th chapter of Romans. As I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that she assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That was Paul talking. But what I was trying to bring out, that I know she took a letter to Rome for Paul. She did many things there. But she was also a businesswoman. But like I said before, your priority is your home. But it doesn't mean that you can't do business. It doesn't mean that you're not equipped to do that. But your priority is that. And there was another scripture I was wanting to get. Anyway, we're going to go on to this. Romans 16:1, and there's 18:26. I think I read that. Similar. 18:26, it says, and he began to speak boldly. This was, the man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. This was Apollos, born of Alexandria. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they were a husband and wife team, and they helped him there. So helping your husband can include assisting him in business, support and encourage him, organizing tasks, providing practical help to make his life easier. I know just recently, I won't say what it was, but the Lord gave me a thought about, it was on finances, and I told my husband about it, and he goes, I never really thought about that, but that's a good idea, we're going to do it. So it's really good if you can work together. I know in some households, sometimes the man just all the bills, and he does it, and the woman hardly knows anything. Or the woman does the bills, and he hardly knows anything. It's better if you know it together. Because what happens, the one that's not taking care of it can be more of a spendthrift, because they have no idea what bills are coming up. But when you work together, I know when we first got married, my husband had this little green box where he put his bills. He's very organized about his bills. And he said, now don't touch this box. Don't mess with the bills. I'll take care of it all. So I kind of went in marriage like that with him. So now it's kind of turned around. Since we're retired, he wants me to do it because he's tired of it. But still, we work together, you know. So it's better if we work together. I'm telling you, I read something one time, and I believe it's the truth. Most married people succeed more in life, I mean, financially in every way, because you have a team working together. You have a team working together. And it can work that way in spiritual things, that you work together. And God bless us that. So we want to go back to Proverbs 31 a little bit more. Just want to encourage you to be all what God wants you to be, and the calling that God has called us to be, and be with. It's kind of like a teaching message, but the Lord wants us to be. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Winter comes, the little girl that needed the coat, she's got the coat. The reason that I believe the Lord has done that is a man works so hard. He's the provider of the home and protector. He really doesn't have time to see all these needs, and sometimes they do see the needs and help. But if you relieve that man from the pressure that he's under, it helps him so much. Because he has the weight of the home. We were up in Tulsa, and Brother Kevin preached a message about the man on Father's Day. He covers the home. He's the covering of the home. He's the protector. And they have a job, too, that's great. And the weight of that financial is on them. And so we may not understand it. I never understood it quite like my husband did. Even when we moved from Michigan to Oklahoma, he found a job, and then I could see the weight just went off his shoulders. He had a job, you know, because he said, here I am with you and the three little girls to take care of, and I'm going to a state that I know hardly anything. We don't know very many people, and we're going in by faith, you know. But I've got to provide for you, you know. So I didn't really, I was more relaxed about it. I mean, I just trusted him. I mean, he would take care of us. And so, you know, that's thing that we can help our husband. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So I remember years ago, I didn't even know I was going to talk about red. I have a little bit of red on. I'm kind of 4th of July coming up. But, you know, we can tone it down a little bit, but it's okay. I remember years ago, Brother Samuel says, red is not wrong. You can wear red if you want to. He said something like that because, you know, we can get under all this strain that, you know, we can't wear red, we can't do this. I mean, God made all the colors. He made all the colors. And so it says, and she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. That's beautiful. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, they say that businessmen are known in the gates, or if you're a successful pastor, whatever your calling is, you know, when you have a good wife behind you, standing beside you, helping you out, that's a blessing, isn't it? She has a lot on her shoulder too. I know that. And it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I love this thought about having a tongue and her law of kindness. That would be dealing with your children. You know, sometimes they need correction, but dealing with them with love, having the law of kindness with your husband. Talk to him in a way that he will receive you. Just like Jerry said to me, I received that because of the way he approached me. But she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her husband arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We're so thankful that we can be what the Lord wants us to be. I have just a little bit more to read to you. I thought this was very interesting. I looked up, I found this in a book I have at home. It says, this is what in the Bible times, what the women had to do in their culture. And you think about Martha and Mary. Now, I really feel like I've got Martha and Mary. I got both personalities. I'm really telling you, I love the Lord. I like to sit at his feet. I love gospel work. But then when I get home, I love housework. I love housekeeping. I love cooking. I've just got both. But, you know, God created this. We can be both. And it says here, this is what they were, women in the Bible times were busy from morning to evening. This is a ray of their household task. They would grind grain for bread. Now, they didn't just have a package we could get, mix it up. But they grinded the bread. And there's some women that do that today. They have grinders. I know of some. And I've even thought about getting one myself. But, you know, it grind the bread they would knead and make bread for the day. Purchasing meat at a market or preparing an animal from the household's flock for meat to eat, then cooking that meat. And I remember when my grandmother, that's my dad's mom, she was a great cook. She had had a restaurant for a while when she was younger. But we were at her farm, and she would have chickens, and she would go out there. How many of you have seen a person kill a chicken by wringing their neck? She'd wring that chicken's neck, then she'd cut the head. I know it's. But she put it in the pot of boiling water, plucked all the feathers, cleaned it all up, cut it all up, and fried it for our supper. My grandmother, I seen her do all of it. And she was amazing. She made the best chicken and dumplings you have ever ate. I ever ate, I'll say that. And I've tried to do it, and I haven't matched it yet, but she just was a wonderful cook. And spinning and weaving threads of various kinds to make cloth for clothes. They couldn't just go down to Kohl's and buy some clothes. They had to do all that spinning and weaving and all that. And they sewed clothes for their household members. Then they had to draw water for each day's requirements. Back then, I'm sure they didn't. You can just turn a faucet on and have water. They had to go out to the well and draw all the water that they needed for that day. Then they had to clean the house. Then they had to do washing the utensils and dishes used in meal preparation and eating. Then they had to wash the family's clothing. I'm sure they didn't have a Maytag. They could just throw it in there. But they probably had to go to the river and a scrub board and scrub the clothes. And then they had to teach and discipline and love their children in the household. This list could go on and on. It's not so very different from the many lists that women have today, like keeping the kitchen clean. Now, I must tell you, before I close, there was two things that my mother always taught me. One thing she said, if you possibly can, clean the kitchen, do your dishes. If you can't have time to clean the whole house, do your dishes, keep the house clean. Because if you have unexpected company, if that kitchen is clean, the whole house, they'll not notice it so much. But if that kitchen's dirty, you can have the whole house clean and it's going to make it look bad. Always try to clean your kitchen, no matter how tired you are. Try to get in the system. And I've tried this before and I've got out of it. But if you unload that dishwasher and then rinse every dish and teach your children, put that rinsed dish in the dishwasher, you know, it kind of helps. That. And the other thing she said is always keep your bathrooms clean. When company comes, your bathrooms are clean and your kitchen clean. Always do that. And it really helps. And then I wanted to leave this little bit with you. It was when you think that maybe you're not doing big things, you're doing small things. Let me read this to you. Between the great things we cannot do and the small things we will not do, the danger is that we shall do nothing. So a minute will catch an important train. If somebody's trying to catch a train and they have 1 minute, if they catch that train, how important that is to get to their destination, just 1 minute. A postage stamp will take a letter to thousands of miles away. A man could famish for a glass of water. There are no small things. With a fervent heart and a heart to serve God, your work will be rewarded. Pray for me. I hope this encourages you.